כל הלשון, כל התורה, בכל מקום.
Torah in Northwest London, Wednesday, first day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, 29th of June, Rav Zalman Rof Shlita, Techeles in Tzitzis, why not? Part 2. This week's Shurim have been sponsored by Nishmas, Dr. Littlestone, Zichron Levrocha, Rav Zeiv Ben Rav Doiv, Zichron Levrocha, whose 10th Yod site was on Sunday, and the week is sponsored by his Mishpocha.
Hemshech to what I started last week, talking about the Techeles, and explaining that even though there are many good reasons and many rayos identifying in some or all of the type of chilazon that this is the Techeles that Torah meant, nevertheless, the Gedol Yisroel, having looked at it, felt that it wasn't even enough of a suffix to be mechayvet to the general klal, leaving it only to yechidim who felt it incumbent upon themselves to want to put on Techeles. So I want to, so last week we discussed the background to it and started talking about a few reasons, such as the color, which is a subject of what the colors of Shabbat be, and therefore that surely must be a prerequisite to start off with, try to identifying the mean which can then match a known color. And then I went on to say briefly, which I want to expand upon now because I got many questions on this point, about the fact that the existence of these three is in itself a question. And I want to explain a minute. I think Gedol Yisroel looked at the choice of the three meaning of Techeles, of Chilazon, and saw in it a certain form of selection bias. First, there was a Techeles that Radina found. Then, another one was found by Rav Herzog, and he very much questioned the identification of the Radina Rebbe. And then, 20 years ago, the general consensus settled around the Murex as the best candidate for Techeles. Now, the problem is that all of these meaning don't fit perfectly the words of Chazal. None of them have everything Chazal say about Techeles. For example, Oyla Achas Hashiv Mishunu, Chazal say that the Chilazon comes at 170 years. None of this meaning can identify with this point. So, those who support the Techeles say, fine, but this is the best candidate. It fits most of Chazal say. And certain things we can be doichak, it doesn't mean exactly this way or that way. And consequently, we should be wearing this techeles. But according to the World Register of Marine Species, there are identified today 240,000 different species in the oceans around the world. And by their own estimations, this is only a small portion, maybe 15%, of the total species which haven't been identified yet, which comes up most probably to 1.6 million. So, is it not possible, or in fact likely, that even from the 240,000 species that we are aware of, and possibly much, much more so from the ones that we didn't identify, that it is one which fits all that Chazal say? Why should we believe that indeed it must be one of these three which doesn't fit everything that they say, when there's so much to choose from the entire ecology in marine animals, that why do we have to be stuck with these three? And I use the example of the giant squid, which I'll explain in a minute. But the key point is this: there's an astounding amount of choice. Clearly, more needs to be done. Some of the animals which we never saw. But why do we need to stick specifically to these three and assume, therefore, that we have found and this is the best we're ever going to find? And the example of the giant squid is not to say that this is a techeles; it's a candidate for techeles, and possibly. But just by way of an example, this is an animal which for thousands of years is considered to be a mythical creature. This is a sailor's tail, a massive squid, larger than an elephant. And this is, you would scare your children, the squid is going to get you, the giant squid. It was never seen. And for the first time in 1880 or 1875, it was first identified unequivocally the giant squid exists. So remember when the Baal HaTecheles starts looking for his chilazon, this animal is mythical. No one believes it even exists. No one could even say that the giant squid should be the chilazon. It's not until 2004 that we get the first picture of a giant squid in its own habitat. 18 years ago. And Chazal said that chalos and dom of yikarim is very expensive. A small squid, not the larger size, was sold in Australia for $100,000. And these are massive. And even today, some say that the larger sizes of about 60 feet still don't exist and there's no proof to it. So let us just say, for example, if the giant squid was indeed the chilozain, we can surely understand why Oil Achas Shem Shunu, it's extremely rare to find it, it's difficult to find it, it's something which exists in the deep ocean, and it's very expensive. And even one of them, you could make many, many, many talos of chelis because it's so big that its dam is massive. So inasmuch as this is a possibility, you can easily see how the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim, or even the current poskim like from Zaman Erbach and Avad Yashiv, would look at the Techelis and say, good try, but there has to be something better. There should be something better. It's possible there's something better. And why does the search have to stop? Why do we have to say that this is called a Suffolk when all we have is a few candidates in front of us? I mean, it would be equivalent to going to an out-of-town koidel and saying, the good Ladar must be among these walls because all this is all we have. There's a much bigger world out there. The candidates for the good Ladar can come from anywhere. Why does it have to be among the selection that we selected or that seems most likely? And it's for this reason why I say that I think that the Gedolei Yisrael sort is not even a Suffolk. The sample size is simply not large enough. Now there's another point. Chazal say the chelusim was nignaz. It was hidden. Those are the point that chelus say. The nignaz means the knowledge of how was of how to use it because there's a problem. All three types of techelus were never lost. They always existed. Everybody knew that they were around. So what's nignaz? Nignaz is the mode of coloring, the way you make it. Oh, but the Sufi says otherwise. The Sufi says that Rieti went and found an old man who lived in among the mountains in the sea, in the close to the coast, and he asked him, what do you live off? And he said, chilozen. And he said, do you have chilozen? He says, yes, here and there and there I found it. Rieti said, Hashemayim, I swear in the name of the Shemayim, it's good as a tzaddikim lo'olam abu. This is hidden. Clearly referring to the actual chilozen rather than to the process of making the tzaddik. And this, the Sagit Akasha, we'll talk about that in a minute. Now, which leads us to the final point in this topic of the Gnizus HaTcheles. The Murex, the one which is the most popular today, has even a bigger problem. Because even the knowledge of how to color with its dam wool was never lost. So what did the Mechatzim of HaTcheles say? What was lost is the fact that you could actually produce a blue shade out of it rather than the purple. And how do you do that? By exposure to the sun. Accidentally, it was discovered that if you expose the liquid to the sun and then put the wool into it, you get the blue color rather than purple color, which was known beforehand. But this in itself has a problem. Because in the Chazal give us decided tvias achilas. Now, ever is mentioned the point of exposure to the sun. And being that this seems to be the key point to produce the blue color, how can Chazal not say it? And therefore, these points lead us again to doubt that the identification of Techeles and makes us believe that among the astounding amount of marine creatures out there has to be a better candidate, there should be a better candidate, and there's nothing to believe that we can't find something in the future. The oceans are vast unexplored territory. We don't know what goes on there, Bichlal. And we cannot understand the Pasha Tiv Chazal. Nignas would simply mean that if we feed back into the ocean, we don't see it.
Yes, are they saying, therefore, it's not one of those three?
Yes.
No, or none of those three?
They're saying it's not one of the three. So now we're coming to the point of suffix. So you said last week we're dividing into three parts. First, undermining the identification. Then talking about, but explaining this is the way Gedolei Yisrael must have seen it. Now we'll talk about why it shouldn't be a suffix at all. And finally, we'll finish off today with a few reasons why there's a problem with going with the Techeles. So you can't say you have nothing to lose because we have what to lose as well. So now let's talk a second about the Suffolk. The Bir Agru famously wrote Mekoyle to Divi Shachanurich. So he always takes a halach from Shachanurich and he says, the source is from here, the source is from there. The Mechaber says, Agav Orchen, Simetes and Shachanurich, that there's no Techeles today. What does he say? He says, you cannot put in today's day in H. Kalayim, but Chazal say you're allowed to. Why? Because we have no Techeles. Now the Gaon didn't have to say anything. It's a fact. We have no Techandus. And yet the Bir HaGlui chooses to give a source. And what source does he bring? It's a free that I just mentioned now. The Techandus is Nignaz. The Bir HaGlui said Techandus Nignaz L'Elem Abu. So why does he need to give a source? So the Moshe Bais writes in the Shiva, clearly the Shulchan Aruch is trying to say that the Bir HaGlui is trying to say the Shulchan Aruch is not saying Techandus doesn't exist as a form of fact. Rather, as a core opinion, it doesn't exist because it cannot exist. It's Nignaz. It's gone. So this, Rubianki, goes back to your previous point. And according to this, it's not a question that we haven't found the right meaning yet, but rather that we won't be finding it. It's not charged to find. It's nignas. And the Gaon, again, by identifying the source for a fact, is telling us it's a halacha. It's not a description of the material as it stands. The ocean's pashtus. Rav Moshe Shapir adds a point which I don't understand exactly. He says that this is the also explanation why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say the halachos of the chalas, because it's never going to be the guy lamasa until Moshiach comes. This is for Shulchan, because even the Masa says also wasn't the guy lamasa in the times of the Shulchan Aruch completely, even though it's obvious that you can be Mekayim, but then still the Shulchan Aruch is not Mekayim the halachos. But the principal point of the Gaon bringing Makor to this side fact, trying to say that it's a halacha, they still stand. Now, the Adina Rebbe has a kasha, and he says, because the word nignas can come in one of two ways. As we pointed out, we'll make it a bit more clear. Is it an active nignas or a passive nignas? Either Chazal telling us, fact is it's lost, or Chazal telling us, no, it has been hidden. And the Adina Rebbe says, it cannot be that it's an active nignas that actually was put away and hidden away from people's eyes, because when would that have happened? If it happened by the Chorban, so it's all part of the Chorban. Gong and Gulus, we know the Samirish, we know the Techayim. But that cannot be the case. We have two sources in the Gemurah, in Menuchas, and Sanhedrin, they're both Abaye and Rebbehat Chaylis. So if it continued after the Chorban, when was this moment of active Nignas? In the mind, the Nignas is passive. At some point in time, the knowledge was lost. In antiquity, we don't have it anymore. Other Sriktir. But the Vice Leruv, in the cipher, gives a different explanation in Cipher Masa Lamelech on the Rambam, as to when it was Nignas. And he says the following. The Gnidus at Chaylis has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Gnidus at Chaylis has to do with Malchus Bayez Dovid. As we all know, there was a Shalshelus of Nassim which started with Hillel HaZukin and finished with the sixth Rabbi Gamliel. This is, according to the Gersha calendar, starts 31 years before the Common Era and finishes in about the year 425. Over 450 years, starting from 100 years before the Chorban till 300 years after the Chorban. Hillel HaZukin becoming a Nasi. So the Nasius of Hillel HaZukin started 30 years before the Common Era, which is 100 years before the Chorban. And then he continued some even one of his children, of course, the pinnacle of the Nasius was Rebbe, and it finished in 425 with the sixth Gamliel. So the Byzantine Empire was Mevatel the Nasius, and with that was also we lost the ability to have. The Shoshanah of the Nasius, which is sort of the last form, the last vestige of Malchus Beis Dovid, which we had remained. And when that was his battle, the Sanhedrin was his battle, the calendar was set in a permanent calendar because the Nasim were the last who were able to set the Kiddush HaKodesh according to the method of looking by the moon, as the Vice Teruv, and the Techayles was also lost at that point. So the Adin Rebbe says, what was so special about after the times of Abaye Veruva? Why would it be like an active loss of Chaylis? It must have been lost on its own. And the answer is no. The key point, the turning point in history is that point. With the loss of the Chaylis is connected to Malchus Beis Dovid, the last vestige of our independence, when that goes, the Chaylis goes as well, will only come back when Mashiach comes back with Malchus Beis Dovid being miskernim from afresh. So if we're looking for a time when it happened, we have a timeline, and we have also a historical event to what it connects, rather than just saying that it dissipated at some point. So this is these are the explanations as to why mitzad the Gnize, it makes sense to us when it happened, that Chazal tells us that it happened in a particular point in time, and it was taken from us. Not so much the knowledge, I think we lost the identification of or access to the chilozim, which gives us the techeles. And at the same way, the Kodesh Baruch Hu took away from us the Sanhedrin, and our living calendar, which was in our hands, as well as the Nasi, which was the last person in Klal Yisrael everybody could speak to and say the form of a king, the Chedus was lost at the same time as well. It's have they? The shells that you found show that they were dying. But how can we know whether this dying was done in the process of dying wool for the purposes and usage of day-to-day life, or was it for the dying of the Techelet? And this is exactly the point and the problem that I personally have with the Murex, because there's no denying that this was used for dying of wool. But is it to say, therefore, that the dying of Techelet was part and process of every other dying of wool, or was it a special, unique chilazon that Hashem said that it must come from that one individually? It doesn't fit with Chazal tell us. And more importantly, this is the problem. How was it lost? Being that people died with the Murex for 2,000 years, at what point was it lost? When was the break in the Messiah? When did it happen? Piles of these shells are found in every era across the Mediterranean basin, in Spain, and in France, and at Israel, and in North Africa. So when was it ever lost? So therefore, it only points to the fact that there must be something different. An animal which clearly wasn't used for day-to-day dying. And that was known and the laws were common. Yes.
Whichever way you look at it, how could the Ravina then hold that you should in the 19th century? Whether it's Marcos de Dovid, whether it's Kovan Abayas,
So the Ravina felt that the laws was passive. There was no active point, as you suggested. No, why should it be such? At some point, Xeris Agulis, things were lost. And just, I mean, in the same way as the smug writer in the Agdomitri said that he came to Spain and saw people were not wearing tzitzis. And he said, you have to wear tzitzis. And I had a pile of tzitzis. And he said, not all the tzitzis are useless. Brackett, he prides himself that he brought back the tzitzis into Spain. Likewise, he said, it's the same. We lost it. Now we have the scientific knowledge. We have access. We can bring it back. The time has come to bring it back. So let us talk specifically about the question of Suffolk, which you said before. Fine, it's all true. Maybe Nignaz, there's a 1% chance. Would you not be the mitzvah of Chayles for 1% chance? So the Din himself, Anat Chayles, brings the Yesod, he's mufalpa with it. But a big idea is the Menachem Zemba, the famous queen from Poland, had a son called Leibel, passed unfortunately at a very young age in the war. And in his title, he has a tshuva which he writes to his father, and his father writes back to him. And there he talks about the chiddush of the Primo Gudim. The Gudim says the following. The Magen Avraham says, a person who only knows one bruchah in Birchas Hamazon, the three bruchahs in Birchas Hamazon, he only knows the first or the second, shouldn't venture to say that bruchah. So there's a kasha there. Because we know that every mitzvah d'oraisa, if it's a suffix, you do it again, right? If a person doesn't know if he line Krishna or not, you make him to line again Krishna. Birchas Hamazon itself says in Shechan Urich that if you're not made Birchas Hamazon, you should say it again. Why? Because the suffix, you have to say it again. So it's a suffix whether you're yotzei mitzvah Birchas Hamazon by saying one bruchah. But nevertheless, the suffix, you should say it again. You should do it. So if a suffix is mechayev Birchas Hamazon, why shouldn't the suffix mechayev to say one bruchah if that's all you know? Says the Primer Gudim, the Pshat is Azoy. It is true that every suffix in a mitzvah esser, you have to do it again to be mechayev. But only if, when upon doing this, do it again, you know for certain and now you're mechayev. So I don't know if I'll answer Krishna this morning. I can't remember. If I'm going to do it again, now I for sure was mechayev the mitzvah, because I just did it again. So therefore do it. But if even after when you did it, you still didn't change the status of the suffix, you're not mechayev to do it. And therefore, a person who only knows one bruch and Birchas Hamazon, after he says it's one bruch, it's still a suffix with mechayev the mitzvah. That's not mechayev doing something without a suffix. So again, when do I say that a suffix is mechayev me? Only when after doing it, now I tick that box complete. But even if after doing it, I'm still standing in the status of a suffix, that's not mechayev doing the mitzvah.
Okay, but you're doing it.
You're not
but you're doing it.
We don't do things stump. There's a famous Zuchke Rebbe from the show. He led a campaign to Shachnaya all the good areas to sign that one should open bottles before Shabbos. Whether it's a even in plastic, whether you're allowed to or not open. And he got everybody to sign off on it. And he went to the Yanka Fisher and he said, can we please sign? I said, no, I don't. I think it's okay. He says, yes, but there are certain Paschim who say that it's a problem. So, Muskashay Shatan, so people should know before Shabbos to open their bottle. And he said, and I'm sure he meant it jokingly, Zuchke Rebbe Icholib Gazoze. I like my soda with its full gas inside of it. And the point he was trying to make is, The Torah itself gives rules when we should be choshesh for this cycle. And I'll touch upon it in 1 second, I think it'll become clearer. If we want to be choshesh for every single subject, we'll never finish. And it'll become clear now in a second. There's a Ksav Yatzer of Surah Shkalavir where he writes that Reb Chaim Valojan asked the Vilna Gaon, why do you not wear tefillin the Rabbani Tam? It's a Mitzvah Esam and Atzeir. Rashi has one shitter, my Tam says another shitter. Surely you should be machmir. Who more than the Vilna Gaon? And he said, if I want to be machmir and tefillin to be mekayim all the shitters, then I have to wear 64 pairs of tefillin. 64. How did they get to 64? One theory goes the following. Because we have Rashi and Rabbani Tam, then we have the mirror image of each of them, because the question is, do we go right to left, right to left? So it's Shemesh Rav and Rav, that's four. Each of these four is a question whether we do Psichus Hashtim, that's how we divide the parshas internally, like the Rosh or the Rambam, so we have eight. You can write on Gvil or Klaf, so that's 16, because each one 12 times 2. You have the Tufas with above with Adavuk, we're up to 32. And finally, there's one with Psichus, the Tikkun Tefillin has one more division, so we have 32 times 2, 64. So what is the Vilna Gaon saying here? What he's saying is that in a mitzvah, where on balance, the sfeikas are so much that in order to become them, there's an inordinate amount of times that you have to do it. That sefer is not machayev. It doesn't meet the level of chiyuv of what one has to do. You would never finish. There's so many mitzvahs that a person can become. What we always take the path of saying a sefer has to reach a certain level of sefer or the ability to be able to become that mitzvah with a certain level of certainty prior to telling us we have to be choshesh for that. And I'll go even further than that. And this next point I can't even explain, but nevertheless, the Shibul Aleket asked the question: why is it that mitzvah tefillin became shvach in its own time in Ashkenaz? He gives many explanations, which each one of them like blows your mind. Ibn Chuzayt said because they held that, like says in the Medrash, if you learn Torah, you're not achiev to put on film. And then he says, this is not the main tam. Mi ikra tam. The real reason is this: the loy nohagi, that people don't put on so much film. The loy chzikib ame oilam. The oilam hot b'shem mitzvah. That's the thing to say. Mishum shenech lekibul chosayin. There's a machlokes. Rashi v'ayim v'tam. Hekach lo yadin le'mevel kerechas. We don't know what to do. So nishim. Even this machlokes in film was good enough for the Shavuot Lekut to say a mitzvah, which is sort of seems kind of kiddush out with matit. People say I'm not going to do it. You know, and to the point even that citizens of the tchis for the tzibur are not putting on film. You know how many pairs of tefillin a person would have to wear to mekayem the ikar halacha? 18. You have three types of tchalas. Each of these three types of tchalas is two ways of how you. There's only yikiva. Two ways of how you can of you have to dye the wool. In the three shittas of how many strings of tchalas you have, and each ma'akav, each according to the shittin, whether one of eight, or two of eight, which is to say a full string, or four of eight, which is to say two strings out of four. And then we have, so this is the ikr, so we have 18, because 3 times 2, which is 6, times 3 is 18. And then we have seven shittas of how actually, this is not ma'akav, the next point, of how to actually tie the string. So do I use the blue around the white? Do I alternate? How do we do it? Threes and twos. There's seven of those. So to become all the shittas, you need 127 talisim. I think even Shamig didn't wear 100, maybe he did, actually I don't know. 127 is, just think about it. And therefore, like the Gaon said regarding tefillin, it is clear for himself, he was not choshesh by time himself, because he said they had to wear 64 tefillin. Therefore, this type of stuff, it doesn't reach the point where you say, I have to be machmir already. There's so much more to be said, but I want to get to another point. So, Rechama Kudish Leder, there is some, as I say, one word that he points out, that the pusik is mafsik. So, the Lushna pusik is, Uzilem Titus, Akafa Vigdayim, Leder Yosam, Venosim, Tzakunov, Satachailis. Why does the word Leder Yosam not appear at the end of the pusik? Venosim, Tzakunov, Kafa Vigdayim, Tzakunov, Leder Yosam. It's intentionally to separate the two. There's a tzitzit which is the reisam, that's always. And then there's a tchalit which is not always. But because I just want to touch upon the last point. Okay? So let's say that we've asked questions regarding the actual identification of the tchalit. And then we said that even the sufik, al atzad wa makabalit, there's reasons. Because there's too many shittas to be mekayim, because we say nignaz is an active nignaz and we cannot even find it. Oh, but fine, but the 1% al atzad, why not? What can we lose? Sometimes put on tchalis. So the Adini Rebbe had a nephew who actually has an English connection with a Gun Utsim, Chemedet Tamat Chochem, Rebbe Rechem Linus. He lived here in Cricklewood from 1931 to 1950. some of the older members of the Kili even remember him. He's a big Talmud Chacham, Liner. Yeah? So, Rabbi Yechon Liner, then he moved to America. Yeah, I'm pretty cool. I have a side of his. I'm a Shagun Utsam. He wrote. And when he came to America, he took over the Tchel. Now, why did he start with the Tchel? Because in the Sotem of Achsib Shemini becomes a Minig, the Azin Rebbe, the Balatchalis himself, Rav Chavigas HaMitzvah, was Oisik in the Mitzvah of Tchel, only himself. He himself stood there and dyed the wool and did it all mamish completely by himself. Like every minig becomes a minig, so did his son do it. And his Anik Reb Shlomo, the last Rebbe, did the same thing, insisted to do it all himself. And nobody knew the actual dying process of how it has to be done. Reb Shlomo, when he came to the ghetto, realized it's a problem. And he called 10 Yidin together and he said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to die Tchel. Unfortunately, all 10 died. And the art of dying the Tchel was lost. Seemingly forever. I think the Hasidim came in America. They got together, they hired a chemist. And they asked them to sort of engineer a new process of dying on the basis of the tchel they had. They had the end result to match it. And he was very upset about it. And he writes to Yishalayim, he writes that in the modern journal, I put an ad in the Hizarti of it. I warned them not to wear the tchel. The Tziyamti HaGemuri, and I pointed out, Ani Hashem, Ushusili Pura Kala Ilm. He says a big chiddush here. That not only the tchilis, if it's the wrong tchilis, kala ilm, we'll touch upon that in a second, but even if the dying process is done wrong, that's kala ilm. Chazal tells us that the person is not allowed to wear tchilis, which is seemingly like the tchilis, but not the actual tchilis. And Hashem says, and he said, Lipura, be punished for that. And please warn all the chassidim and the shul, don't ever do it. It's happening in tchilis. So the chiddush of the Rishon is saying, and he's mabas, I don't have much time to go into it, that there's a chashash kala ilm. If you wear tchilis, which you think is correct, and Yehoshua, but it's not correct, he must call it because he didn't call it and he himself didn't do it.
Why
did
he
use
the
Chalim? What did you say?
Why did he use it's not
the Chalim. This is the Chalim. That if you win the Chalim, because you want to carry the mitzvah, and it's a possibility that this.
Hashem gets angry at people who pretend the Chalim and
extend it. He says it goes in the wears too. A person who wears it, the chiddush is bigger because he believed his uncle was right beside the identification of the chiluzin. But the process was wrong of dying it. Subsequently, what happened was, Malta Kodesh Burchi, the Rebbe had found the letter that he was a bucher, was too young. He asked his father, Reb Yoel, to write, he was Reuven Leeds, I think, Rebbe's father, to write a letter to the Baal Chalas son, asking him how he dies with Chalas. And the Gaba answered back with a detailed description. When this description was found, they recreated the process again, and Yerichim himself put on again Tchelis on that second time because he believes that this was the correct approach. But nevertheless, the principal point put forward is here. Now there's another one. Perhaps we'll finish with this. Dilma Usul Mishach. It's common in Chazal, many Takun in Chazal, maybe we'll use one example. Chazal say, Be'etzem, Midinu de Gemure, and now we have no Basamigdash, the morning of Yom Tezayin, the Nissen is Matad Tzvi'a. You can eat it only Bizman Basamigdosh, you have to wait until Yom Makav the Karpan. But nevertheless, Chazal said, Yom Anef Kiri Usir, the whole day is Usir. Why? Because perhaps Mashiach will come, and people will say, I remember, we'll have to eat the whole day. They'll forget that this is only prior to the Chavon Abayit. So I said it, please, this is the Chamorit Tegidigma Bismat Masoyle. Mashiach comes, and Mashiach stands Moshe Rabbeinu in all the Ovis in the line, and he says, we're not allowed to eat the tree this year anymore because the Mikdash is here. We have to eat in the carpet. And Ayit Sadek says, Ichem Mashiach, but my father ate in the morning and I will continue to do so. And the Chashash is big enough that they said, okay, but for the whole, for 2,000 years in Gulus, we can never eat in Yom Tzai the new tree because one it will say, Matata Yogesim. And he'd be right. Right to know that we have to change the halacha for everybody for the entire length of the Gulus. Where's the Kazakh? Now let's apply it to Tchad. Let's take an example of our days. The Pashtas, putting aside what I said till now, the general consensus is that the Murex is a better candidate than the Razin Rebbe's Chalas. Has one Razin Chusar changed his Chalas? No. Man Tategang with it Chalas, Yichagang with it Chalas, Matushim with this Chalas. Mashiach comes tomorrow. All the Murex wearers around the world, the Belchis Talmidim, Chusar with the Chumim, and Mitzazugim, there's a new candidate, the giant squid. What are they going to say? Man Tategang with it Chalas, Yichagang with it Chalas, and my children will go with this Chalas. Dilma Usa the Mitzvah is the Yesod. You cannot take something out of Sufik and it becomes entrenched to the point that a chashash is that when something better comes up, what are people going to say? This is the problem with any version of the Chayil unless we come to a certain uncertainty. And we finish with one kid. Choschan said the Moed Kazach. Klal Yisrael is like a goitzes. The aloch of a goitzes is that you don't never move him around because one movement, who knows what's going to happen to them. Any change, you have to be choshish what is going to happen. We need to have 100% uncertainty to move this goitzes around. Now, Baruch Hashem, hopefully, we're not a goitzes to that extent. But a change is a serious matter. And it requires far more forethought, much more experience, and obviously much more evidence to be mechayev a change. Yeshakayach.
עולם שלם של תוכן מחכה לך בכל הלשון 03-617-1111